Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
The owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American Dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true international depression.
Mark Reardon.
So in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. A beautiful day in St. Louis. Gorgeous Sunday. Saturday was a bunch of crap. Didn't like the weather there. Sue asked me when she walked in, how was your weekend? What did I say? You remember what I said?
Yeah, it was great. Oh, you know what? It wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't that great. And I haven't decided. I'm gonna dabble with, Andrew kind of knows. There was an incident in my house. We'll just put it that way. During a birthday celebration,
ooh,
if you will. And it was over politics and just uncomfortable and just crappy.
Wait, somebody brought up politics at a personal event.
Bad idea. And I'm very known for keeping calm and not having opinions and overreacting or anything along those lines. Never do that. So it just became a bit of an issue. So I have to think about this a little bit, because it's a tough situation. Quite honestly, I'm not happy that it happened. And I'm sitting here today and I can't stop thinking about
it.
Did
you bring it up or did someone else?
That's a bit nuanced, but I'll probably tell the story. I have to digest a little bit. And
fair enough.
Because I'd love to get reaction. It's one of those things, and here's what's interesting about it. All right, just put this out here. This was not a political difference that I had with someone on the left.
Oh.
Yeah. That's what makes it even more interesting.
Okay.
So I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay.
Are you dialed into what's happening in Minneapolis right now? The Blues game, by the way, got canceled. The baseball game got canceled. I guess the weather's not spectacular up there. They may have called off that baseball game anyway, but they had riots again last night. Now, I was all prepared here because I sent a story over the weekend to Andrew with some video and audio of Lieutenant Karan Nazario, who... This was something that happened a couple of years ago, but now there's a lawsuit about what happened in Virginia. He gets pulled over and then pepper sprayed, and it's questionable behavior by the police. We'll just say that.
Very much.
So I wanted to talk about that, although I think there's different perspectives on both of these things, which typically is not allowed. But then you have this Duante Wright and his potential arrest, and now it looks like this was an accident, they say. And if you look at the video, I understand why. So let's play a little bit of what's going on. This was last night in Minneapolis when everybody was reacting and there were businesses that were attacked. This is what the body camera shows, and a shorter version here. So you see, I'm going to make a point here, and this is going to, I'm sure, get shot down by a lot of people, although maybe a fair amount of 97.1 listeners will agree. There's usually a pattern. Well, there's always a pattern. The pattern is not cooperating, all right? So in this particular case... Now, I don't know. They say why a cop would pull anyone over for expired tags or anything like that. I don't know at this point, just based on what happened here with this scenario. In St. Louis, they don't do it because you could still see tags from like 2018, and that's not an exaggeration,
nope,
driving around the city.
They pull you over in Illinois. I know that much.
They do?
Oh, yeah.
Around here,
really?
They don't ever.
They do. All the time I get pulled over for.
So there's a
great.
There's a traffic stop. He's got, and I think you're going to hear some of the details, there's a warrant out. So they start to, Sue, have you seen the video?
I have not.
So this is a little difficult to do if you haven't seen the video, but I'll walk you through it. So he's outside of his car, and an officer starts to put handcuffs on him. And at that point, I think you see the female officer who shot him. You kind of can hear her, and then her hand comes. I think it's her hand that reaches, it appears, in his pocket, because I think she's trying to see if there's anything in there, a weapon or drugs or anything like that. So then he starts to resist, and he goes back into the car like he's going to drive away. So he's essentially breaking loose. He jumps back into the car. One officer tries to apprehend him, and then you're going to hear the audio here of the officer who shot him basically saying, and this, as we learned today, Tim Gannon, who's the police chief, says, well, this is part of the training, because you'll hear her say, taser, taser, taser.
I'll tase you.
Taser, taser, taser. All right, so you can see, when you see the video, it's not a taser. You can see a gun. You can see her service revolver, and her reaction is, holy, and she says the S word, I just shot him. And you can hear the other cop responding. So here's the police chief, Tim Gannon.
As you can hear, the officer, while struggling with Mr. Wright, shouts, taser, taser, several times. That is part of the officer's training prior to deploying a taser, which is a less lethal device. That is done to make her partners aware, as well as the subject, that a taser deployment will be imminent. During this encounter, however, the officer drew their handgun instead of their taser. For informational purposes, we train with our handguns on our dominant side and our taser on our weak side.
Yeah, this is interesting.
If you're right-handed, you carry your firearm on your right side and you carry your taser on the left. This is done purposefully and is trained. As I watch the video and listen to the officer's commands, it is my belief that the officer had the intention to deploy their taser, but instead shot Mr. Wright with a single bullet. This appears to me, from what I viewed and the officer's reaction in distress immediately after, that this was an accidental discharge that resulted in the tragic death of Mr. Wright.
Well, as you might imagine, that explanation ain't cutting it in Minneapolis with protesters and others. I don't know. Maybe there are other facts that will come out here. I'm always open to that. Maybe the officer purposefully wanted to shoot Duante Wright. I don't know that we have any indication of that. So then the question is, what do you do? What do you do here in this case? Because she'll probably lose her job. In fact, the mayor of Minneapolis says,
my position is that we cannot afford to make mistakes that lead to the loss of life of other people in our profession. And so I do fully support releasing the officer of her duties.
All right. Well, and that's probably what's going to happen. Now, there was a rumor that she had killed herself after this, and the chief says no.
There has been a fair amount of social chatter in media, which I don't normally comment on, but there was some comments in social media that she had committed suicide. That is not true. That is not true. To the best of my knowledge, she's being taken care of right now.
All right, so then should she be fired? Tim Gannon, do you think she should be fired?
My position is that officer afforded due process just like anybody else does. She has the right to be heard. She has the right to give her statement. She has the right to tell what she felt, what she thought. Not what I thought, not what I saw, but what she thought and what she, and that may have an impact. So she's on administrative time out. She will not be returning to duty until this investigation has run its course. And she, for all intents and purposes, I think we can look at the video and ascertain whether or not she'll be returning.
Did he just say for all intensive? I think he might have.
I think he said intensive purposes.
I hope he didn't do that. But people do
that. A lot of people do that.
That's okay. We'll let that slide. It's a busy day, and he's very stressed.
So you know what? Not the worst thing a Brooklyn Center cop did this week.
Well, right. So he's basically not willing to condemn the cop without hearing her version of the story. It does seem like this was just a really bad accident. Again, this probably doesn't matter to a lot of folks, but cooperation would go a long way in these situations. He describes, this is Tim Gannon sort of describing what led to the arrest.
From what I've understood from the public safety briefing, there was an expired registration on the vehicle. That means the tabs were expired. Upon arrival, when the officer made contact, I think at that time when he walked up to the car, he discovered that there was a hanging item from the rearview mirror. So there was a contact that the officer went up there initially for, obtained his ID or his driver, his name, and he walked back to his car, and at that time he ran his name and he found out that he had a warrant. That's why they were moving from the car and they were making a custodial arrest.
What was he talking about? Do you know what he was talking about, referring to there? Was the thing on the dashboard? Or on, that was bizarre. I didn't
Hanging
understand
Hanging from the car, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. It was, he had something. That was why he was pulled over, because he had something obstructing his rearview mirror, which is against the law. All and they pulled him over for that. And then they saw that he had a warrant, and that's when it escalated from there.
So he decided, and I always think it's a good idea to release these videos. In fact, you know, if you do it a little quicker, I think if some of this stuff was released in Mike Brown's situation, some of that wouldn't have happened. But in this case, he releases the video.
I felt the community needed to know what happened. They needed to see it. I needed to be transparent, and I wanted to be forthright. Yeah, due respect to Dante as well.
All right, and a couple more here, because they were, he's making the case that the officers were assaulted too.
The officers that were putting themselves in harm's way were being pelted with frozen cans of pop. They were being belted with concrete blocks.
Oh, this is at the rioting.
And yes, we had our helmets on and we had other protective gear, but an officer was injured, hit in the head with a brick. That was a Hennepin County deputy. He was transported to the hospital. So we had to make decisions. We had to disperse the crowd because we can't allow our officers to be harmed.
Wow, and they're going to deal with a whole lot more of that. One more cut here, because it got ugly last night.
Make a short comment about what happened last night to our community, a community that I've been a part of for 27 years. I've seen some of the worst damage to this city I've ever seen in those years. Again, peaceful protesting, expressing yourself, we fully support that. But the ravaging of our businesses, the looting of our stores, the destruction to our pharmacies, we cannot tolerate that.
So where does this leave Minneapolis? I mean, this is going to get worse probably, and then you're still going to have whatever happens in the aftermath of George Floyd. And, you know, you don't know what type of conviction. I mean, I said this last week, based on what I've seen in that trial, they're moving toward a conviction. Defense hasn't had their shot. I don't think they're going to get their second degree. So if that doesn't happen, there's going to be more of this in Minneapolis. But this is a tough one, because what do you do? I mean, if the officer genuinely made a mistake, you got the guy resisting, he's trying to get back in his car, you have a legitimate situation. This is something I don't think people think about, that these officers are worried they're going to get killed. You know,
sure.
There have been documented cases of that. On the other hand, and this may be even more apparent with the Nazario case in Virginia, he's black. There's white officers. He's worried that he's going to get shot if he cooperates. His brain, I suppose, is telling him that he's going to be shot by the police and not to cooperate. I would argue that cooperation is probably the better move in most of these situations, but I've never been pulled over because I'm black, and you know, I have different perspectives.
You got to fire this cop in Brooklyn Center. You have to, the way I see it. The way I look at it is, if I did something here...
You mean in Minneapolis?
Yeah. Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. If I did something here that resulted in me accidentally shooting one of my coworkers, or really anybody, I feel like I'd probably lose my job, right?
Well, but she is a police officer, and I don't know how she holds on to her job, right? And there's going to be so no matter what happens here with prosecution, I think that it would be very difficult for a prosecutor to bring charges in this case. Even bringing charges would be probably somewhat questionable. You can call maybe manslaughter. I don't know. But they'll probably try. But outside of that, there's going to be, this is what I have no doubt about, there will be a significant check that will be cut for wrongful death. They might as well just cut it right now, because that's not even going to be a dispute. She pulls the taser. She says, taser, taser. She has a gun and kills him. So, oops. That I mean, it's bigger than an oops, but that's definitely, but is that a crime? Should she lose her job? I'm going to argue that she probably will, regardless if people think that they should. But should she be prosecuted for that? What do you think on that question?
Go ahead, Andrew.
I think prosecution for manslaughter is fair. This is a big mistake. I am in favor of forgiving mistakes most of the time, but this is one that resulted in somebody being killed, like an actual person's life that is now cut short. Because she had as you said, a whoopsie, but, you know, a little bigger than a whoopsie, and pulled the wrong thing. And I get it. She was panicking, but this is what you train for. And this is your only job. Your only job is to protect and serve and not accidentally kill anybody when you're given your service weapon to carry. So this is about as big a mistake as you can make at your job. And people have been fired for a lot less at a lot of other jobs.
Well, again, that's a separate question from being prosecuted, because you can go through the whole process of saying, okay, we think this was manslaughter, whatever third degree charge would probably be appropriate here. And you're right. You don't have to have the intention. I mean, a drunk driver might not have the intention of killing someone. If they kill someone, they're still responsible for that. So I'd have to dig into the Minnesota statutes in particular.
I just looked up the definition of manslaughter just for a reminder. And here's what it is. The crime of killing a human being without malice aforethought or otherwise in circumstances not amounting to murder.
Kind of sounds like this.
It kind of does sound like it. But I get it. Oh, this is a mess.
It's awful.
What a mess. It's horrible.
And Minneapolis will go through it more and more tonight and into the future as well. We'll actually go up there. Our good friend Sloan Martin from WCCO just after 4. Congresswoman Ann Wagner is coming up next, 97.1 FM Talk.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I know we had some folks that wanted to chime in on the Dante Wright story from Minneapolis, and I haven't taken. We've been doing the show now for 2+ weeks, and I have not taken any phone calls. So yeah. I think we're going to do that maybe in the next hour. I wanted to kind of work those in anyway. So stay tuned for that, because I know people have something to say. By the way, the Blues game against the Wild canceled because of all this tonight. We'll have Frank Cusimano on in the next hour. I mentioned Sloan Martin from WCCO, the very latest from Minneapolis, just after 4 o'clock. I am joined this afternoon by Missouri Congresswoman Ann Wagner from the 2nd District, just back from touring the border over the weekend. Congresswoman, how are you?
I am great, Mark. How are you? Good to be with you and the listeners.
I am doing pretty well after a nice weekend. I guess yesterday was a beautiful day. Saturday, not so beautiful, but a nice day and a nice day here in Missouri. You're still in the district, aren't you?
I am still in the district today. I head back tomorrow. We've been back in the district for a couple weeks. Other than my trip to the border, which I did at the end of last week, we head back to D.C. Tomorrow, and I've got my Born Alive discharge petition that I'm going to be putting forward next week, but we're also going to have hearings on everything from D.C. and Puerto Rican statehood to this $3 trillion and growing behemoth tax increase slash climate infrastructure package that we'll start negotiations on. I mean, this is all going to be a crazy, crazy time.
Well, let's start on the border. I had Congressman Davis on the other day when you guys were down there. Tell me about that experience, what you learned, what your takeaways were.
Oh, it was like nothing I've ever seen before. It was just truly horrific and is an incredible crisis that can be laid at the feet directly of President Joe Biden. He created it, he's sustaining it, and he's doing nothing to curtail it. I was down there also in 2019 when we had the same kind of thing happening under President Trump. But he acted. That's the difference. And he put three major agreements and executive orders, policies in place that completely curtailed it. And President Biden has chosen to nix all of them and end those policies. Well, the one was the Remain in Mexico policy. Remember, you could apply for asylum in the U.S., but you had to stay in Mexico. The other was the Asylum Cooperation Agreement. And I even went to Guatemala, and that's the three kind of, like they call them, the Central American Northern Triangle countries of Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, and the deal was the same. You could apply for asylum in Central America. Don't make the 8-week trek up here unless we call you up.
Right.
And the third policy was that public health exclusionary order, which is called Title 42, which began when COVID began, which is basically, hey, we're not letting anybody in our borders in the middle of a pandemic, not to mention the wall. So, you know, I voted for and authorized some $25 billion for wall and border barriers, and President Trump built 458 miles of it, and the day after Joe Biden was inaugurated, he ended all of it. I stood there where the wall stopped, and I couldn't believe it. There was, like, tractors and rebar that was all rusted. That they just walked away from it, and thus, we are now seeing an influx of upwards of 175 million illegal migrants each month, and that was for the month of March. It's going to grow as the weather gets warmer, and it's also going to grow more treacherous, Mark, for people making the journey. I'm sure Congressman Davis told you it was unbelievable on the Rio Grande River.
And what is the – let me take you back. I just wrote, what's the figure of how many immigrants that you just mentioned?
There were the numbers that they're putting out, 172 million in the month of March alone.
Okay. All right.
Okay, 100 million in February. So this grows each month exponentially. And those are just the ones that turn themselves in or they caught. They're estimating another 40 million that they're aware of that they just couldn't get to. Because you know why? 40%, if you talk to these Border Patrol veterans and agents and who are just, you know, I talked to 20-year veterans who've never seen anything like this, and 40% of their field agents that are out there supposed to be stopping drug runners and sex trafficking and cartels and coyotes and crime, you know what they're doing now? 40% of them have been called in to process children and to run these unaccompanied children's processing centers. They're basically child care workers. And instead of out there catching bad guys and keeping our border safe. So we have an epic problem here. And the difference is Trump put in policies. He recognized the problem. He turned them back. They stopped coming. And President Biden and Kamala Harris, who's supposed to be the czar of all this, she hasn't even shown up.
Yeah, so you know, she did not show up for all of this last week. Let me see if I get this straight, though, because this is interesting. Congresswoman Ann Wagner, the situation, I don't think even 60 minutes, maybe they would. They couldn't even debate the point that this crisis right now with these kids in particular is worse, far worse than it was with Donald Trump. Right. I mean, that who could argue
Correct.
Against that at this point?
It is. Far worse. I mean, the facts are the facts,
right.
And they can try and recreate history and the truth, but you got to go down there to see it. I was at the Donna, Texas facility with my colleagues, and this is a facility that's set up to handle maybe hundreds of unaccompanied children. They're getting 4,500 a week, and they have COVID. There were holding pens are stacked literally right next to each other, nose to nose. In a horrible conditions, and one of the holding, I don't even know what to call it, areas for the set of children had on it suspected chickenpox. I mean, they're coming in with I wanted to say suspected. Anybody who's in that holding bin has got chickenpox at this point, okay, if one person does. But they're and here's the big problem. They're moving into the interior because they can only keep them for a certain period of time. And then Health and Human Services and the NGOs take over, and they get moved into the state of Missouri, into all over the United States. So we've got several hundred thousand that are being processed and moved up into the United States of America, and it's crime that's coming in. It's drugs.
So what happens, though? So you're saying this is fascinating, too. You're saying that some of these kids end up here in Missouri. Under what circumstances?
Well, they have to be moved into the interior. They're only allowed to be held, supposedly, at these processing centers for 72 hours. Now, I saw some that had been there for up to 2 to 3 weeks, but they will be moved into the interior. I went to the airport, Mark, in McLean, Texas, and got on my plane that was on its way to DFW, to Dallas-Fort Worth, right? And the majority of the plane were people holding over families, usually a couple kids, looks like a set of parents. They were holding oversized manila folders that had plane tickets in them, money. They'd been given a change of clothes, and there were some English words written on the manila folder, and they're being moved. So by bus, by plane, into the interior.
Okay, then what happens? I guess would be a follow-up question, right?
Right. Well, I mean, exactly what happens. They become wards of the state, so you're talking about crime elements coming in, COVID and disease coming in. They've not been tested. But to me, really, it's also the cost, the long-term cost, because at the end of the day, these folks are going to be a drain on our social system, our welfare system, on our education system, our healthcare system.
Not if they go to New York, Ann, because they'll just pass, you know, billions of dollars to help the people who are undocumented, which is just baffling to me, but that's New York, and that's what they did last week.
15, can you believe that? So 15,000, American citizens got a $1,400 stimulus check. If you were here illegally, and you lost your job because of COVID in the state of New York. Yeah, you got $15,000. Right. It's unbelievable. I was there with a colleague from New York. I told her at one point, go swim across the Rio Grande. She's from New York. I said, come on back, and then I'm going to write a letter to Cuomo and tell him you need
$15,000. By the way, I like that idea. All right, I'm going to zip through a couple other things here just because we have limited time. You mentioned something called the Born Alive Discharge Petition. What is that? I'm not familiar with that.
So I offer a piece of legislation I did last Congress and this Congress, the Born Alive bill, which that basically states, and this has passed Congress before, but it hasn't since Pelosi's been Speaker, and it is a provision and a law. It's sad to say you have to do this. It says that children that are born alive after a botched abortion or for any reason, they have to be given life-saving care. And there are, believe it or not, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of children that are born alive. Most states outlaw it. It's not outlawed in, it is in Missouri. It's not in Illinois and many of the states. So it's a national piece of legislation that says any child that's born alive ought to be given the same life-saving measures that any child that is born in a hospital.
So
and
radical.
You're so radical, Ann.
You know,
I know.
To propose something like that.
Pelosi won't let it come to the floor. So we have to do something called a discharge petition to discharge it to the floor. I'll probably get 2,005 Republicans to sign it this week. I'll be 213 Republicans. What am I saying? We've upped our numbers again. So we're five away from 218 for it to be discharged to the floor. So 218 discharge to the floor. We'll have 213 Republicans when I head back tomorrow. So I'm going to work on that. I'm going to try and protect life and save the dignity of children that actually are born alive, believe it or not. It's unbelievable, but
keep us
true.
Posted on that. Congresswoman Ann Wagner, all right, this is the – Ann is going to make news portion of the interview. I always try this and just got to be – are you going to run for the United States Senate?
I am seriously looking at this race. The Senate race doesn't come open very often. I have worked hard in the 2nd District. We had quite a race this last time, and I'm honored to serve. But if I can take what I've learned and the work that I've done here in the 2nd District and expand that to the state of Missouri. Then we're going to take a close look at it. But most of all, what I'm going to do, Mark, is my job, which is to be a member of Congress, go to the border and be a truth teller, go next week and make sure I get the Born Alive discharge petition and fight D.C. statehood and tax increases and the bloat of overgrowth and spending in this administration. I'm going to do my job first, and we'll see over time here whether or not we want to make a run for the U.S. Senate.
Is there any – I just got to press a little bit. Are there determining factors that you're looking at and any kind of timetable, or are you not going to tell me that?
No, I mean, it's really – we're just going to watch how things unfold and see if there's an opportunity for me to serve the state on a bigger and greater level. If so, we're going to go for it. If not, I'm going to stay here and do the work representing my hometown of St. Louis. I'll tell you this, though. If I do make an announcement, it'll be in Missouri. I believe this is about talking to Missourians about this race, not talking to national figures. Also, you know, elections are so long and so
yes,
drawn out.
Yes, they are.
They
right.
really are too long. And I think everybody has to take good counsel. I want to talk to the Missourians and the folks that make a difference here in our state. And I'll make some decisions in due time. But yes, we're taking it seriously. We're looking at it. But right now, I'm going to do my job in Congress.
Ann Wagner, appreciate it. I had to try on the newsmaking. I usually get the same response, but I appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
You bet. Take care, man. Bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
No Blues game tonight because of the rioting in Minneapolis. We'll have more on that. Sloan Martin is a reporter for WCCO. She's been covering the George Floyd situation, but obviously shooting death of Dante Wright during a traffic stop in Minnesota last night. We'll talk about that. I'm going to take some phone calls, too. We haven't done that. This is week 3 of the FM show, and I think I'm going to take a few phone calls in the next hour. We're joined right now by Missouri Senator Bill Igel. How are you, Bill? Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Mark. Thanks for having me.
A bunch of things I wanted to talk about. First of all, and I'm going to get into this issue a little bit later in the show with Joe Zinberg, who is with the Competitive Enterprise Institute on the vaccine passports issue. But the legislature, you guys have done something on that, haven't you?
Yeah, we sure have. As this was actually just last week, we passed an amendment that would prohibit any entity from the state from enforcing or requiring a vaccine passport in order to access the transportation industry in our state. So you're talking about airlines, trains, taxi cabs could not require you to show proof of getting the vaccination in the event that you want to use those facilities for your freedom of movement. So this is a good way to protect the rights of the people and the right of freedom to movement, and we got that done last week, so there's some excitement.
Not that I disagree with you, but let me push a little bit here, because on those businesses, if they're private businesses, should the state be telling them what to do?
Yeah, so this is the common question that we get. And here's, Mark, you know me pretty well, but I'm always hesitant anytime we're talking about putting restrictions on private businesses. That being said, a private business can't go out and rob a bank. A private business can't go out and commit murder. And the reason it can't do those things is because those actions infringe upon the rights of other folks. And so when we talk about vaccine passports, you're talking about a business potentially denying citizens freedom of movement, freedom of assembly, freedom of the right to petition their own government, with a behavior that everyone acknowledges, even on both sides, could lead to an environment where folks can't express themselves, can't have their rights and freedom of movement done. So I'm always very hesitant about that. But in a situation like this, I'm against tyranny, whether it's from government, which is easier to define, but I'm also against tyranny from a collective group of businesses, in this case, whether that's the airline industry, that that want to deny this to our folks.
But do you have an issue then if a restaurant wants to do that, or a bar, or a movie theater, or other companies like that? Is there, are you drawing a distinction between transportation and some of these other businesses? Sounds like
I'm actually not, because when we have an environment when somebody is requiring a vaccine passport, what that does is it allows our society to be defined into classes. And in this case, the two classes are vaccinated and non-vaccinated. And then, depending on what your status is in either one of those classes, you have access or availability to certain privileges, certain rights. In this case, freedom of movement, could be freedom of public accommodation, whatever it is. I'm generally not supportive of any policy that divides the public into classes like that. So I think that putting a restriction on that particular type of behavior is within the proper role of government. And just like I would oppose businesses being able to rob a bank, I think this is something we need to do.
But I think that when it comes to passports, you'd have to, let me just kind of close on this point. I would certainly be opposed to the government issuing and requiring vaccine passports. That's different than a business owner that says, look, you have to prove vaccination before you come into my restaurant or my establishment. In your mind, is that different or not?
It's still dividing people into two classes. And again, when a behavior is dividing the public into two classes, and the behavior as a result of that division is denying individuals freedom of movement about the economy, about society, I think that's a problem. So I see the point that you're trying to make, and I understand.
Well, I mean, you can say no shirt, no shoes, no service, right?
Well, you can. I don't know if that's quite in the same line of vaccination passports, but I think there's always a standard of conduct that we have to look at where we define the line. Government, using the power of the people, is defining the line between what behavior is acceptable for private businesses, beyond which we think it becomes an infringement. So I think I've come down on this issue that, you know, I think vaccine passports are a bad idea. And yes, it's easy. I think pretty much everyone agrees that it shouldn't be coming from government, but we're seeing in a world, and especially, you know, Joe Biden and leftist Democrats are trying very hard now because they know how unpopular it would be to have a vaccine passport come from the public sector. They're trying to get woke corporate America, in many cases, to do their dirty work in the private sector. So these infringements are bad no matter where you slice them, and so that's where I've come down.
What's the reaction, and I think you in particular, but the legislature, the Senate, on the gun, whatever he did last week on guns, I don't even know what, you know, the president did, quite honestly, but what wasn't there a reaction on that particular issue?
Yeah, it was negative. This isn't going to come any surprise to you. So when Joe Biden came out and started talking about the different ways he was going to infringe on the Second Amendment, it got a negative reaction from the Missouri General Assembly. And quite frankly, I think that's the same reaction it's going to get from the people of the state. In this case, we are living in a state that is very supportive of the idea that there shall not be an infringement on your right to bear arms. Well, President Biden doesn't agree with that assessment. In fact, he said something that I found awfully silly, which is that certain rights are not absolute. And so I disagree with that, and I think that you have a legislature in Jefferson City that's going to do everything they can to ensure that Joe Biden cannot enforce his altered view of reality on the state of Missouri when it comes down to the Second Amendment.
What's the issue on the budget right now? You guys are, what, about 5 weeks away from closing this thing out? You have to pass the budget. Are there hang-ups there, if you will?
Well, so, you know, we're about 3 weeks away from that. You know, the question is going to be, we're going to have a bunch of special interests come forward saying we don't have enough money to fund all the priorities in the budget, when in reality we've got so much, we've got more money than we've ever had before down in Jefferson
City. Which I think is kind of amazing, because if you track, and maybe this was the beginning part of 2019, but if you go back to 2019, this is before the pandemic, there were all kinds of questions with some of the tax revenue that was coming in each month that was not where the targets had put it. So I'm confused overall by the windfall, but encouraged nonetheless.
Well, so let's go back to 2019, right at the beginning of the year, before COVID really took hold. And even at that moment, in January of 2019, we were ahead of our targets for the year. In fact, we were on pace to get another triggering of the income tax cut because we were far enough ahead that we felt confident we were going to get exceed the $150 million threshold. But after COVID hit, the only reason we ended up not reaching those targets is because tax day, April 15th, got moved back to July 15th, and that caused a loss of revenue in the fiscal year of 2020, which ended on July 1st.
I got you. Well, that makes
now
sense.
We've got we're in a year where we've had basically two tax days in a single year, so we're way ahead in terms of revenue. But not only that, we've gotten so much money from the CARES Act and the dollars coming out of Washington, D.C., that just our bank account, is higher than it's ever been before. Normally, there's $300 to $400 million in our checking account. We've got almost $2.5 billion in our checking account right now. So that's why guys like me get frustrated when Republicans in Jefferson City start talking about raising the gas tax. I get frustrated when we're not talking about cutting taxes because we've got so much money down in Jefferson City that we literally don't know what to do with it all.
And I do, you know, you and I have conversations about this all the time, and I agree in principle. The only difference I would say in the gas tax is that there are quite a few people from outside of the state, like our friends from Illinois and elsewhere, that would pick up the bill on some of that. Bill, always great to have you back. I guess there are only 3 weeks. We'll get an update before this session is over. State Senator Bill Igel, preachified. Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Mark.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.